Okay. Real growth as an Oved Hashem has to affect, hi guys in Bidud, has to affect everything. Now, dear, you got to do your job. You got to do your job. No look, Yoni Merkin. No look at the... Okay, no look. No. Real growth in Avodas Hashem has to extend to all aspects of a person's life. One of the greatest foes of Avodas Hashem is schizophrenia, compartmentalization. I'm from here. I work in davening and in learning. But then there are places and pockets and spaces and times where I take some time off. And sometimes we take some time off, you betray Hashem, really take time off, you turn your back, 180, yes?
Can I record the meeting?
Can you what?
Can I record
Yes, absolutely, got to record, okay?
Recording in progress.
Thank you. Okay. And sometimes you really take time off and you turn away from Hashem and you do things that aren't so fantastic and don't make you feel noble, a bit sad. And sometimes you just want to, Hashem, give me a break. Come on, I learn. And I want a break. I want to take a break. Now, breaks are good. And part of real growth is also knowing where you are. When you're 19, it's a whole different ballgame than when you're 50 or 40. So you have to know where you are and be honest and don't charade around with things and don't try to reach a level that's not appropriate for you. So here's a chance not to talk about the Super Bowl. We'll talk a little bit about it. But it's more about, I think, a really important thing for you guys. What does it mean for a Ben Torah to watch and enjoy sports? Is that even a question? Or is sports, is other zones, other plays, watch it. It's nothing about being a Ben Torah. What do you mean, Rabbi? I'm eating food. It's kosher food. I'm making a bracha. I'm davening. I'm keeping some money. For like, why would it in any way? You can't answer that question. You got to ask, how does a Ben Torah do everything? A Ben Torah get married? A Ben Torah raises kids? A Ben Torah play? How does a Ben Torah watch sports? So what are the issues about? Because this is your year. You're trying to build yourself and fashion, sculpt yourself as a Ben Torah. So how does that apply to... So tonight's about the Super Bowl, but it's more about how to watch it. And I don't want you to hear chas v'shalom in my voice that we don't want you to watch sports. It's not true, and it's not going to happen. And I sat at Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shiva, and Tova Lichtenstein looked me in the eye and said, whatever you do, as if like I'm in control. I'm controlling all the thought information. Don't let them whitewash my husband's memory. Don't, when they write the Svarim, let anyone tell you that he didn't like sports. Rav Aaron loved sports. He would quote Sichot about sports. He would tell us the details. He would take 10 minutes explaining to the Israelis what's American football, how's it different from Israeli football, just in other contexts, and who Newt Rockne was. Because for Rav Aaron, sports demonstrated teamwork, getting along with other people, time management. Are you kidding me? Adar Beis. 1987 or something, we were all petered out, weren't learning well. Rav Aaron called us in and gave us a sicha about Newt Rockne and the Musa Shmuz. They were just try harder. He was like furious at us, but he gave us a satire. Teamwork and time management. He tells us about games that were won. Imagine a game that's won in seconds. What does that tell you about your time? If people's careers and entire championships can be won in a few seconds, what does that tell you about your own time? What can you accomplish in that extra second or that extra minute? Okay, maybe you're not at the point where micromanaging seconds, but maybe it's time to think about the minutes and the hours just fly on by. Say, I want to be more careful about my time. If I really enjoy watching sports, there are lots of great lessons to be taken about moral teamwork. Remember once Rav Aaron used to love, I was a little bit too young to play ball with Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron stopped playing basketball with the guys right when I came to the Yeshiva. I think this is probably didn't want to embarrass himself in front of me. Probably realized he heard I was coming. He probably said, stop playing, you know. We'll talk about that some other time. I got a great point average in high school. That's a whole different conversation. Anyway, he stopped playing ball. He played ball with the guys. And at one point, he told us a story that there was one playing ball with the Talmidim a long, long time ago in YU. And there was a guy cherry picking. Those who don't play, hanging out on the offensive side, up playing defense, scoring quick buckets. So Rav Aaron turned to him on the way back to the offense because the guy didn't come back for defense. He looked at him, he scolded him, he said, you're playing immorally. Like, who knew you could play morally? Like, evidently, there's a way to play ball morally and a way to play ball immorally, and cherry picking evidently is immoral because obviously you're not working hard, you're not trying to defend the other team, you're just trying to pad your stats, stat patterns. So like, you can learn a lot from sports, and of course there's a human element. You're watching sports and you're following people and their lives and the saga and their injuries and the drama and the teamwork. And again, put things into perspective. Like, okay, these are people. This is visual arts. These are people slugging each other, beating each other to a pulp. I promise you, you spend an hour opening any book from Kafka to Kant to Shakespeare. You get an hour, one page for 5 minutes will give you more meaning than watching 3 hours. That I can promise you, because visual arts are gross and general and blunt, and ideas are much more precise and abstract and elegant, and ideas take you somewhere. Sports doesn't take you anywhere. It makes your heart beat. So, and you can learn some interesting ideas, but you're not, don't like, oh, Rabbi, I met once, just to show I go through these conversations throughout my history. I remember like in the early twos, there was a guy in Yeshiva, did very well, he's fine today, maybe he's listening. He was addicted to Game Boy. I don't know if you know what Game Boy is. But he's addicted to, can you imagine being addicted to Game Boy? That's what people are going to look at you guys and laugh when they look about your addiction. He was addicted in 2003 to Game Boy. I was walking home with him, he was walking me home, he says, Rabbi, I was like, why are you spending so much time playing you? He says, well, it gives me better hand-eye coordination. Oh, come on. Like, I've heard the hand-eye coordination. What are you going to be seeing? I'll be better surgeon because you're playing Game Boy. I mean, I guess if you're taking therapy, you had an accident or something, and the occupational therapist says, play a little Game Boy. I can, you're fine. Trust me. You got the hand-eye coordination. I remember when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once fell. In the end of his life, he had a couple falls. So at some point, my wife was his physical therapist. Because the family knew, so my wife and I were trying to think about exercises to give Rav Aaron to improve his hand. So we bought him a set of these little mishnayos, you know, these little, so he had to practice taking out the mishnayos and putting them back in. You have to pinch and pull and pinch and pull. So that's if you're gadol hador, you take therapy. So were you thinking Game Boy or Mishnah insertion? Maybe the Mishnah replacement was a better idea for Rav Aaron. Okay, so how do you do it? How do you watch sports? What's it about? What are you trying to accomplish? It's all about watching sports with the proper emotional balance. Are you an addict or are you enjoying it? How do you tell the difference? It's really easy. Soon we'll see. But you can tell the difference. What happens when you're really an addict, when you're really invested emotionally? What happens when your team loses the next day? You have a pit in your stomach. You have an awful day. You feel a gaping hole. You feel like you're walking around empty. Is that the way you really should feel about a couple high school dropouts playing sports in pajamas? Like, just take a few steps back and ask yourself, do you really want to be that person? You felt it before, right? I'm sure some of you have felt it. I remember a friend of mine, unfortunately we don't have anyone from Cleveland here, so I can't rank on Cleveland, but a friend of mine once told me, during the dark years and the Browns never smelled victory, that friend told me, I actually like it better. Why? Because now that I'm not rooting life or death for my team, and I'm not sad when my team wins or loses because I have no hope, I actually enjoy it. Like, I'm actually enjoying the game. I'm objective. This team played well. This team didn't play well. There's no heroes. There's no villains. It's just athletes competing, and it's interesting to watch. So from a sports perspective, right, Jess? I know what it is. I'm from Detroit. Right? From a sports perspective, I actually enjoy it more. Okay, but so let me tell you a story, the story that changed my life. I'll tell you a couple stories. I come back from my 2 years in Gush in 1985. I'm a Mets fan. The Mets used to be good. Let's just say that. They were good at a lot of things. They were good at baseball. Let's just say it was always snowing in Shea Stadium, even during the summer. I'll put it that way. It was the 80s, if you know what I mean. A lot of snow in Shea Stadium, even during the summer. A lot of snow delays. See some of the guys that are too pure to understand my reference. Yeah. You ask some of the less pure guys. So not that they know, but they heard from their friends. So Mets are pretty good. Okay. Yeah, thank God Gush gets sweetie tissue. You know, I have to give you Tosis and Rashi. Okay. So I come back, and my favorite player, I don't want to say who it was, gets up and hits a homer, slams it over the fence. I realized it was a great shot. All of a sudden, place erupts. And people around me get up and start screaming and cheering and shouting. And I'm like, well, where am I? This was not me anymore. I'm not going to get up and shout and scream and act like a lunatic. And like, my emotions have changed. My emotions were now. Where are my emotions? What am I invested in? I'm invested in Tamir Chachamim, moral role models, great people who reflect my values and ideas. They're not on that field. They're playing. They're hitting balls. They're throwing balls through hoops and distances. It's interesting to watch. It's exciting. It's relaxing. It's diverting. Man, get up and scream and shout. The emotions had shifted. I was watching. I was enjoying. I was at a game. But I wasn't identifying with it. I would never, I told you guys earlier, I would never put on a shirt with their name on my back. Like, why in the heck would I want to identify with these people? So deeply, I want my name to be their name. People say, hey, Hernandez, hey, Rodriguez. Like, why would I want that? I want to wear a shirt Salvation on the back. I don't know. That'd be my shirt. That'd be my alumnus shirt. Why? I just wrote an article this week for some of the newspapers called The L Word. So it's about leadership. It really should have been about Lumbus. I mean, the next thing. The L Word. Lumbus and leadership and light. The big three L's. Okay. Why would I want that? So story number two. I wasn't at the story. I wish I could have been at the story. Phil Jackson, legendary Hall of Fame coach, was in a business class lounge 20 years ago, during the height of his reign, of his career. And people are buzzing around and looking at him and getting his autograph. This was before selfies. And just there's a hubbub and excitement. And these two people are standing there looking at him, like watching this queer, strange, odd scene. Why are people making such a big deal about these two people? So Jackson runs over to them and says, hi, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Phil Jackson. So the gentleman who was looking at him said, hi, my name is Herschel Schachter. And some other rabbi there. And Jackson goes, can you sit next to me on the plane? Because I want people that are real, that look at me as a human being. That not people just adore me and admire me just because of my fame. And my. I want to have a conversation with someone. I can't have a conversation with anyone. Just sit next to me on the plane. That's what you're heading for. Here's your litmus test. Be honest with yourself, because you got to be honest to change. Turn around. Two people walk in that room right now. LeBron or Schechter. Who do you run to first? Who gets you more excited? And the answer probably is LeBron right now. Taking a poll. But if it's LeBron or another sports figure, Tom Brady, whatever, that's the inversion you want to reach. Where these are just people brought down to earth. They're not angels. They haven't accomplished much. They've got skills that are more marketable. Everyone's got skills. Some skills are more exciting to watch. Some skills, if you ask me what skills are more important, doctor skills are more important, therapy skills are more important, financial, okay, but these are skills that 50,000 people aren't going to watch surgery. It's not going to excite them. For some reason, people find sports and athletics exciting, which is fine. Acts of strength, acts of courage, acts of daring, they're all fine. But it's the emotions. And that's what makes the Super Bowl such a perfect microcosm, such a perfect example, and what makes this year's Super Bowl, because we all know the Super Bowl is really about our emotions, and Madison Avenue trying to warp or control or exploit our emotions. Come on, what's more popular than the game? The commercials. And we'll have commercials prey on you and play on you, because Madison Avenue's got to make money. So they got to sell you or get a hawk a way of life. So they want to make you convinced that you can have a better life. So they'll show a beautiful woman showering with a bar of ivory soap. It has the word ivory on it. And then you know, oh, if I buy ivory soap, I could be beautiful also. Or see a man driving his kids to soccer practice in a Volvo. I wish I had kids. I wish I had soccer practice. I wish, if I buy a Volvo, will I get it? And a family hanging out at Papa John's, excited to eat the pizza to share it. Hey, I wish I had friends like that. Maybe I should buy Papa John's pizza, because that's the way for me to get my lifestyle. And the bar is saying, well, we all need soap, but we don't need ivory soap. It's $5 more, because they're selling you a way of life. And in your fantasy world, you're buying a way of life. So they're playing on your mind. I enjoy the commercials. They're very creative. I watch them with my kids sometimes. Yeah, but I watch them. They're interested to see how people can create ideas and can create cultural sway, but Super Bowl is a frenzy. It's not, last I checked, football is 4 quarters, 15 minutes. It's not an entire day. So we'll talk about that in a few moments. But that's where we're heading to. That's what you should be thinking about beyond the Super Bowl. I'll tell you how you can try to transition into it this year. But that's what you're headed to. If you're someone that watches sports, how can I be someone that watches? I remember when I was in Smicha, it's the height of the Bulls and Knicks rivalries in the early 90s. I had one station on my TV. Like, I had the only TV in the kollel, and everyone came into my room during the Gulf War. I'm not going to name rabbis, but there are a lot of big rabbis, a lot of big yeshivas who did have TVs in the Mayu kollel. They all piled into my living room and dining room to watch during the Gulf War the pictures of the rockets. They're all in my living room. It was a little old TV, one scuzzy, staticky channel, but we got it. So I would take off every Sunday. I really wasn't taking off because the afternoon state or something did, but I would take off and watch, I think it was one quarter or one half of the game. just to see when the Knicks played the Bulls. I enjoyed watching. And went back and finished my afternoon set. Again, it was during lunch break or something. Can you be that person? Can you watch without the adulation, without the emotional investment, without the excitement, without the... Because I promise you, I can promise this to you. Listen carefully. In 500 years, the name Tarragon is going to mean a heck of a lot more than the name Brady or Jordan. Those names will be forgotten. You think I'm wrong? Can anyone name the champion archer from the 14th century? He's probably pretty famous, and he's lost to history. Or the log roller of the Upper Yukon, the champion log roller of the Upper Yukon of the 19th. I'm sure the guys were famous, and no one cares. And 20 years now, no one's going to care. One of the most pathetic memories, if I could go back and change my past, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did. But I was hooked. I was addicted to sports. Gotta watch sports. So I got a pretty imaginative mind. I can imagine enjoying all the sports, baseball and football and soccer and rugby and championship wrestling and mixed martial. I can imagine all, then even the strange ones, the golf. I don't like golf. Tennis, again, you start to move out to the periphery. And then the Olympics come and you start to realize, was it really doing anything? Probably not. You're wasting your time. But okay, you're getting something. Another guy down the hill, another guy down the hill, another toboggan around. I look back and I think about all the Sundays I wasted watching NASCAR. What got into me? Cars going around. Hashem, please give me that time back. How often are there crashes? I mean, the crashes are so exciting. Hopefully no one dies. Just show me the crashes. Show me the highlights. But I'm addicted. Okay, I gotta watch NASCAR. Okay, gotta watch Formula One. Gotta watch Alpine rifle shooting in the Olympics. Wonder whether Sven will win from Sweden or whether Ulrich will win from Finland. Go Ulrich, go Ulrich. I won't be that person. Somebody gotta say no, at a certain point. So let me tell you what happens every year, this mass addiction. It happens in March. Because March is a really, really glaring hole in the sports calendar. It has Madison Avenue, hawk its goods and sell its money and convince you that Ivory Soap and Papa John's and Applebee's and the new iPhone, everyone, I'm going to convince you. So there's one guy in CBS, and he's got a job that only happens once a year. Maybe he has other jobs. He's called the switch guy. So March 1st, he goes over, and he flips the switch in CBS headquarters. And I'm sure this, I haven't proven it, there's an electronic pulse that gets emitted throughout the world. And it hypnotizes people. And it hypnotizes you with the following teams that you didn't even know existed before. And you can't even find it on a map. Come on, guys. Does anyone know where Gonzaga really is? Okay. You've got an excuse. Texas Tech and Georgia Tech and... Can you find them on the map? Do you know their names? I know you've been following the team for 6 months. Okay, that makes sense. The ins, the outs, the drama, the injuries. You don't even know these guys. But it's March Madness. So if it's March Madness, I got to be mad. Madness, no, tell me to be mad. I got to be mad. That's what you don't want to become. It's the secret, silent manipulation of sports wedded to merchandising that will hook you. And believe me, I could give this speech in Harvard. Not only about religion, it's about freedom, independence, identity, autonomy of thought, not getting hooked, following culture, not getting nabbed by culture. In the early 2000s, NBC came up with this great marketing scheme. One night they had their best shows on, they called it must-see TV. And one got up and questioned, like, well, must-see TV? I don't have to watch it. Do I have to? Wait a second. Do I have to watch it? Like, there's some law? Yeah, I'm missing something. Must-see TV. Am I going to get fined? Well, today it's a little more subtle. It's called a viral video. Oh, 30 million people are watching those penguins. I got to watch it also. There must be something about those penguins. And I kind of like it. That's the irony of the internet. The irony of the internet is you thought that internet would democratize our thinking. If anything, it tyrannizes our thinking because it creates groupthink. And group tyranny is the greatest tyranny. When one person tyrannizes you or one news outlet tyrannizes you, you know you're being tyrannized. When it's the group that tyrannizes you, you don't really have a clue. So here's your challenge this year. to grow as a ben Torah and to reach a more balanced, healthy relationship with sports. And here's your chance. Now, how can you do it this year? Well, the best, I'll give you layers because I don't want anyone to feel like I'm telling you what to do, because this is trust here that we try to create with you, that we don't intervene and brainwash you, but also you got to bring more of yourself and take responsibility and make real decisions, because we're not making them free. If you don't make them, you'll just walk out of here empty-headed and empty-souled. Let me tell you a story. Rav Aaron was in Avil when Rav Moshe got married. And Rav Aaron went to Rav Shlomo Zalman to ask for a kula to come to the wedding. Sounds like a joke, right? Rav Aaron walked into Rav Shlomo Zalman looking for a kula because Rav Aaron's a big machmir. And evidently, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't give him a kula. So Rav Aaron, I think, came to the chuppah maybe. You can ask Rav Moshe, obviously, but certainly he didn't come to the wedding. And Rav Aaron told me he remembers the emotions he felt that night for his son, having suppressed them, more than he would have remembered them had he expressed them, the love he felt that night for his son. I can promise you that if you don't watch the Super Bowl this year, you make a stand. You say, I don't care. I'm pulling away. I'm going cold turkey. I'm not watching it at all. I'm going to watch maybe the highlights, or just the score. But one thing I can promise you, you'll remember this Super Bowl more than any other Super Bowl you'll ever watch. And I can tell you from personal experience, the Super Bowl I remember most was the Super Bowl when the Bengals were playing the 49ers, like 81 or something, and their famous last drive. And 9 o'clock time came, and I got up, and I went to Marv, and I pulled my brother to Marv, and I was like, it's the Bengals, it's the Super Bowl, they're driving. I remember that Super Bowl, because that's when I learned Marv muscles. That's when I learned that as tired as I am, as exhausted as I am, as much as I have, you just get up at 9 o'clock, and you go to Marv, period. No ifs, ands, or buts, unless you're sick, whatever you can. But nothing gets in the way of my Atzilut B'Tzibur. So I promise you, if you take that approach this year, I promise you, you'll thank me. Maybe not this year, but I promise you'll find that. I can guarantee. You may not be brave enough or interested enough to take it. No one's going to be taking stock. We're not going to be. We used to record the Super Bowl and show it the next day during the break in like one of the rooms. Come on, you guys all have your phones and your laptops. Those days, there's only one way to get it, to watch TV. You got someone in the show then. If you decide to watch it this year, don't watch it live. Don't burn your night. I got to watch it live. Because then you're just feeding the addiction. And don't tell yourself, I don't make Seder the next day. You may make it. I know you guys are strong enough, but at some point it's going to catch up with you. Those 4 hours that you burn at night, you're going to lose it on Tuesday or Wednesday or Monday. So don't lie to yourself. If you stay up all night, you're being a Vatal Torah during the 1 year you're in the Beis Hashem. And there's no way to make it up because in the middle of the night your sleep patterns are going to be off. If you want to watch it, ask your friends not to tell you and watch it the next day during the break. Or watch the highlights. If you absolutely, positively, definitely can't get by without watching it when it's happening because you feel like, oh my goodness, the whole world is watching. I got to be part of that herd because if I'm not part of the herd of zebras, I don't have any identity. Then just watch the game. No parties, no media frenzy. Just, as the Gemara says, put on black clothes and go somewhere and do it. That's when I feel it. It's because you're slapping terror in the face because here's your chance. This is your one time the base matters. So I'm giving you three levels. Recommendation, intermediate recommendation, less recommendation. Recommendation, cold turkey. Promise you. Watch the highlights the next day. I promise you. I can guarantee anyone in this room. Second of all, I want to watch the whole game, every play. Okay, so don't do it late at night. Come the next morning, even if it means watching an hour during breakfast. And I would even prefer that, even if it takes a little bit of morning set, not the whole morning set, and then. Again, you got to ask your friends, please don't tell me. And whatever, worst comes to worst, they'll tell you. So you'll know who won the game before you watch it. So that excitement will be taken, but you'll gain so much more. If you absolutely must, but no frenzy, no parties, no leaving yeshiva. I mean, that would be, this I can tell you, like perfect terms. That would be burning everything you've accomplished. Whatever you guys have accomplished, and you've all accomplished a lot and got traction, and not in learning and in showing and in trying to change as a person. If you decide that you're going to go to a party Super Bowl night, you may as well pack your bags. Not that we'll throw you out of yeshiva, but everything you built is tossed in the way. It's a tire fire. You're just throwing it away. So going to a party, leaving campus, not a good idea. Okay, you got 5 minutes just to help you visualize who you don't want to become. On my word, everyone can take their paper. Just because, Jake, I got to say my word. Let's see what's happening. Hold on to this, okay? Hold on to this. Ian, you need a piece of paper? That's my assessment to Ian. Okay. this is a rain delay of a Mets game, or maybe after they won something, again, when the Mets used to be good, it's probably, look at the cell phone, it's probably around 2002 or 3 or 4 or something like that. Okay, the guy smoking a hoagie is a nobody. He's a nobody, but everyone thinks he's a somebody, you know, some player. Like, can't tell you about his moral life, the guy in the middle, the player, with the backwards hat. Can't tell you, but you look at the people around him, it's like they see an Eliyahu HaNavi. So, first we got the guy, let's say at 2 o'clock. This guy is clearly 10 seconds away from a heart attack. The guy in the Mets shirt, 2 o'clock. Now, I imagine that's how I would look if I saw Eliyahu HaNavi. But this guy's looking at isn't Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay. Then we got the guy at 11 o'clock who's so excited, he's duchening. He's trying to give a bracha. Please, touch me. Touch my hand. It will give me meaning. Just touch my fingers. Please. Of course, he's choking the guy beneath him and about to decapitate the guy to the left of him, who's clearly didn't pay for these front row tickets. The guy, little kid, clearly snuck in, maybe paid off some usher. Not that I would know about sneaking in and paying off ushers in Madison Square Garden in the 80s. I mean, I don't know a thing or two about that. Let's just put it this way, guys, okay? People asked me if I scalped in the 80s. I said, yeah, I was the scalper. At some point, I had risen through the food chain of the garden. I was like the main scalper. People would come to me, and Michael, got tickets for us? I'd give them tickets to scalp off. Like, my brothers didn't believe me. They came one night, like, well, these people, let's say, they weren't exactly yeshiva bachur, were coming over to me. Hey, Michael, you got some tickets for us? So, thank God I survived, but I couldn't afford seats. I went into the nosebleed section, and let's just say me and the ushers had a way about us. Okay, the guy at 12 o'clock, 12:30, he is 30 beers beyond where he should be. Please, if this guy drove home at night, he is no longer of this world. I can promise you that. I hope someone took him home. And the guy on the left at 9, he better learn to use the camera on his cell phone before like the 2:10 strike, because he'll be left in the dust. So he's trying, which button do I press? Which button do I press? Because his world will end. Doesn't get a picture of some high school idiot dropout. And please, we got to end now. No one in this room tried to tell me otherwise. Please don't. No one tried to tell me that the two guys at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock on the far right, I mean, don't try to tell me these guys aren't from YU. Please. Please. The circle faces, the accountant glasses, the hats that don't really make sense because they're covering the kippah. Please, please. These are two YU guys who should have been in Shear, not adoring some guy. Like, whatever, it's Phil Jackson, he's some guy. They bleed like you and me, flesh and bones like you and me. So you're at a crossroads, guys. Who do you want to be? Someone who enjoys sports, someone who's addicted to sports. I don't buy into, I'd rather they be addicted to sports than to sex and drugs. It doesn't fly. Spoken to some people, yeah, you know why it's good for high school kids to be addicted to sports? Because it's better than. No, addiction isn't good. A, because it's gateways to other addiction, you abdicate control. And B, even if it doesn't gateway to other addictions. To be an Oved Hashem, Ana Avdikut Jebrechu, I'm a Ben Chorin, I make decisions. Those decisions are aligned with who I am. I stand up and I decide what parts of the culture I taste and partake of and how and to what degree. And I am not led, because once I abdicate control, then you're in the hands of the Yitzhahara. Then you're no longer making decisions. Good luck, guys. Good luck. I'm going to L.A. But I'm flying out of L.A. before the Super Bowl. Me, I'm making the best stand. I'm flying back from L.A. before the Super Bowl. I have an empty plane. I have the whole plane to myself.
Daddy, I only watched the entire Super Bowl once in my life. Now the one said my little sister wanted me to do it with her.